So yesterday, I sent a message, a question, to our Latino Fellowship WhatsApp chain. Yes, we do have a text chain. And yes, it's how we keep up with each other. And if you're not on it, it doesn't mean we don't want to keep up with you too. It just means it's how we roll. So, and if you want to be on the Latino Fellowship text chain, you are more than welcome to be on it. Let me know after the service. You learn a lot of cool stuff that way. I sure do. But anyway, so I posted a question on the Latino Fellowship WhatsApp text chain. I asked this. Si alguien te preguntaría esto. If someone asked you, what made you proud of being Latino or Latina or Latinx, Latin American? What would you say back to that person? They asked you, what makes you proud? First response, the first response I got was family. What makes you proud of being Latin American? It's the way we do family. I'm proud of how we do family. But then I probed a little bit further. But what do you mean by that? Why family? What is it about family that's so central to Latin American existence and imagination? And the response was something like this. We just don't give up on each other that easily. And we know and trust that no matter what, across distance, change, struggles to communicate, disagreements, we know that we have people who won't abandon us, who will always support us, no matter the cost. In other words, family gives us the constant assurance in the face of a sometimes harsh and deeply challenging life that we have a network of people who choose to give us pan y pescado, bread and fish, and never stones or snakes. Truth is, talking about Latinidad without talking about the role of family is like talking about water without talking about oxygen and hydrogen. It's all just one thing, really. To be Latino is to be someone who values family, and to be someone who values family, and I don't mean in some James Dobson focus on the family religious right kind of way. More like in a I would cross a dangerous border for your safety kind of way. Is to be Latino. And to be clear, while biological family is super important to Latin Americans, I'm not going to lie about that. It does go way beyond mere blood ties. It really does, the more you unpack it. See, family is the network of people in our lives that we love, that we carry a sense of mutual responsibility for, that we sacrifice for, that we show up at their house without notice and will still be welcomed in, that we believe in, that we celebrate, and that no matter what, we don't give up on. Que nunca abandonamos. Family is the network of people we're making sure have the pan y pescado que necesitan, the bread and the fish that they need. And when I think of our Latino fellowship here at Calvary, people who are not related by blood, as a result of a whole lot of things we spend a lot of time talking about here, but understand that they are related by a shared story and a shared journey here, that's what we mean by family. So since I keep referencing pan y pescado, I'll say that today's scripture is kind of about family. Jesus makes a little joke, it's mildly sarcastic, to make a point about God's love for us. What parent do you know who would give their child a rock instead of bread and a snake instead of a fish? Well, if any average parent knows better than that, how much more would the God of the universe love you? And I gotta say, sometimes it's good to be mystical with Scripture, to peel back layer after layer of a text, to turn it over, to rummage through it, to refuse the most obvious interpretation for the sake of further exploration and so on. And I think you all know I'm pretty much always up for that. It's kind of a thing. But this time today, I think it kind of just says what it says. Something like this. Real family. Real family. Always. Always wants to give you what's good for you and keep you away from what's bad for you. Real family. Real family always wants to give you what's good for you and keep you away from what's bad for you. And that's how you know if someone is family. And if someone isn't doing that, even someone who might be tied to you by blood, then maybe they're not getting what it means to be familia, to be family. But of course, even something so straightforward gets complicated in real time, right? When do we decide that someone isn't being family? Doesn't being family mean we never give up on someone? What if someone is giving us the best bread they can, but to us, it tastes like rocks? You see where this gets messy, right? And what happens when things like culture or the tension between cultures produces painful misunderstandings about whether what's on the table is bread or stones, fish or snakes? Are y'all with me? I'm going to let Coco explain what I mean at this point. So if you haven't seen Coco, hopefully you've gotten the basics from Pastor Sally's time with children, right? And our children. They clarified a lot of things too. Miguel, the protagonist, is a little boy who wants to play music. We got that, right? And with all his being, he believes that music is the sustenance of his soul. It is his bread of life. He comes from a long line of shoemakers, though. And of course, as fate would have it, his family does not trust or value music like Miguel does. Because years ago, long before he was born, one of their patriarchs abandoned them to follow his dreams as a musician. See, to the Rivera family, music is a sneaky, dangerous snake. So the whole story is about this tension. What do we do when dreams feel like they are in conflict with family? What do we do when it feels like our families do not celebrate our dreams? In the end, what we discover is that Miguel, he gets to choose both. But it's a hard journey there. He gets to choose both his family and his dreams, but it takes some serious reimagining on everyone's part. It takes some magic, some spirit. It takes some deep clarifying. It takes the help of the ancestors who Allison said are our family members who live in the past, which is probably the most beautiful thing I've heard, like, all year. It takes some deeper understanding. It takes some shedding of old fears. It takes some releasing of old myths. But in the end, the Rivera family, they get there. They get there. And just as importantly, Miguel learns that following one's dreams for one's own sake isn't really enough to sustain us either. Following one's dreams for one's own sake isn't really enough to sustain us either. Our dreams must be bigger than ourselves. They must expand our ability to love and imagine. They must be the kind of dreams that set bigger tables and that bake more bread. Como dijiste, hermana Eugenia, que multiplican. This week, a beautiful, painful article was making the rounds in my second and third generation Latino immigrant friend circles. Maybe you saw it. The Vice article by culture writer Nicole Clark unpacks some of the particular challenges and traumas children and grandchildren of immigrants face as they assimilate into Western culture. Let me give you an example of what all that means. For example, we talk a lot around here, I think, or maybe there's just a general sense, that we're a kind of find-your-passion kind of church. You know what I mean? We talk a lot about finding your passion, about being passionate about what you do. And that's nice. I mean, that's good, even. I don't want to stop that. There's a way we're trying to counter a pillar of Western thought that tells us that unless your passions make you money, you really don't need them. Right? So this is good work that we're doing. But see, the children of immigrant parents, many of our children here at Calvary, they sit on this very strange precipice, right? On the one hand, you see your parents struggling to make a life for you. You know what it's taken for them to get you to a safe space, to get you bread and fish. And so it's kind of hard to just chase a dream that might not pay the bills, a dream that might not ensure your family's well-being when they don't have easy access to things like retirement and health insurance that you're building for them. And at the same time, you have dreams, and everybody around you is telling you to follow them. The whole culture you've grown up in is telling you that your dreams are the most important thing in the world. So back to Coco. I'm just going to keep going back to Coco when I hit a rough spot. It's a struggle for parents of second and third generation children, too, this dynamic. Because they want their children to get to be American and dream. But they also face real concerns about how far that dream will actually extend to their children. See, immigrant parents ask themselves a very real question. Even if I struggle to give them bread and fish my whole life, will this country ultimately give them stones and snakes in return? Why should I trust the imagination of a country that doesn't seem to care about us anyway? So I gotta protect mine. I gotta tell them something else so they can make it. I don't know about this dreams thing. So when a second and third generation immigrant child going off to college or let's say their first job or whatever new adult space they're entering hears something like this, it's time for you to think for yourself. Be your own person. Don't be so dependent on your family. Cut the cord already. It's easy to hear that all this emphasis on family, the importance of family, will only weigh them down in the long run. The family isn't the most important thing, that their dreams are the most important thing, which can make second and third gen children feel doubly disconnected. Are you with me? They feel like they're doing family wrong and their dreams wrong. Like I said, the scripture's pretty straightforward, but how we flesh it out in real time, it's not so simple, is it? Okay, so why am I talking about all this? I think it's really important as a church rooted in Latin American imagination, even though all of us aren't Latin American, to understand these differences. to feel how they play out in one another's lives, to spend time learning more about them, because they absolutely affect our life together. For those of you in intercultural marriages, building intercultural families, you know this already because you live it every day, right? These tensions. And honestly, even for those of us who aren't members of intercultural families, we struggle to make sense of how our commitment to family and our commitment to self can feel like they are in conflict. Yes? No? Any nodded heads? Does anyone deal with this? Okay. Which one is supposed to win out? Is one of them supposed to win out? What is the conflict trying to tell us about ourselves? About the world? This is messy stuff. Because the stardust that first formed us is full of dreams. And to siphon off human dreaming is to siphon off everything. But the first thing Adam said when he saw Eve was, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." See, we are all full of the longing to be connected, to be part of a family. And to siphon off that longing for connection is to siphon off everything. Somehow we have to keep it all alive together. So maybe dreams and family are like oxygen and hydrogen. Maybe they need each other to make water. And what makes us the deepest, richest, fullest kind of people, the best pan y pescado we could have in this life, is to witness how our dreams and connections feed each other, water each other, make each other grow and thrive. See, when our dreams become like bread that we can break and share, not hoard or keep for ourselves, when they become the food that sets our tables, when we want them to be the stardust that brightens the whole world, and when our families become the people who help tailor those dreams, who become our wise and mindful circles of trust, people who help us listen closely, who mirror back to us things like, tell us more, or that doesn't quite sound like you, but help me understand. Help me understand. Or, I got to be honest, I'm worried about where this dream will take you, but I trust that we can do this together, porque somos la familia. We're family. That's where we become full, connected, dreaming human family. Whew, which is why we have to take care of each other in the process. To see each other, to understand what it feels, that what feels like bread and fish to some of us, it might feel like stones and snakes to others of us. And so we've got to go slowly with each other and turn on our soul's ears and listen closely. This is what it means to be family. So I'm sure this is totally my bias coming out. And listen, y'all know I have enough wounds from my own family story to last several lifetimes. But even still, I want church to be like a Latino family. The kind that one of our hermanos described for us at the start of this sermon, where you know that no matter what
no matter the distance, no matter the struggle, there is a group of people who will not abandon you, who will see you through, who want you to dream, and who want you to have everything you need to thrive. People who are real family. People who want you to have what's good for you and want you to avoid what's bad for you. How beautifully simple is that? People who want you to have what's good for you and want you to avoid what's bad for you. And people who are willing to flex and bend and reimagine what that even is. Si la familia de Dios, la familia de Dios, the family of God, is a bread baking. It's a fish frying. It's a dream making comunidad. So there's a whole lot of cocoa I skipped. Because, I mean, how much cocoa can you get in one sermon? But Miguel spends most of the movie among his ancestors in the land of the dead, la tierra de los muertos. I know, like I said, I skipped a bunch. You got to see it all. He's there for most of the movie. Anyway, he has this curse, and in order for the curse to be lifted, he must receive a blessing from his ancestors. He must receive a blessing from his ancestors. See, the whole story is about the blessing. The whole story of life is about the blessing, isn't it? The bread, the fish on the table is about the blessing. The dream inside is about the blessing. The reason we come to church, doggone it, y'all still come. Bless you. See? The reason you come to church week after week is about the blessing. The reason we don't give up on family is about the blessing. The reason sometimes we have to let go of people harming us is about the blessing. The thing we're longing for from family and friends and God and the universe is about the blessing. And one way or another, we discover in this life, are y'all ready for this? This is all your pastor's got to say. The blessing is already there. The blessing is already there. It's always been there. Since the dawn of time. And it will always be there. And one way or another, we discover that that's it. That our work together is to listen with each other, to walk with each other, to struggle with each other, until we can all look back at each other and say, I have the blessing. And you do too, mi hermano, mi hermana, mi familia. Somos bendecidos. And that, I think that is la familia at its finest.